Live from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and the callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now here's your host for Chatterbox.
Welcome to Chatterbox Video Game Radio, everybody. It's a little bit later than normal tonight, Sunday evening. It's 10 p.m. for me, although a couple hours later for you. Normally, we're on at 9 p.m. our time, although it looks like we changed the clocks today. Well, to be honest, you all changed the clocks and I didn't, and that's why we have a time change. Then, of course, they also pushed us back another hour, so that makes it two for you, one for me. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Point is, we're on, and luckily, most of our listeners listen to the recorded show anyway. So, really, you get to listen whenever you want. So, tonight, it's me again, alone, 3 weeks in a row now. Nate Vig is not with me. He was going to be in the show, but then we found out it got pushed back and he had to leave. So, anyway, I'm on my own. Give me a call tonight if you want to partake or participate in the show. It's 866-536-1100. Really appreciate it if you call in and, you know, give me some help since I don't have a co-host tonight. Of course, Andrew, as always, is manning the boards for me, and I appreciate that. So anyway, this is what we're going to talk about tonight. I did not get the chance to discuss Leland Yee and his superior showing at the GDC 2 weeks ago. So we're going to cover Leland Yee, and, well, really just we're going to talk about the discussion that happened at GDC. And luckily, Vladimir from Joystick has written about it, and you guys can all go over to Joystick and find that. I don't even know if it was a recent thing that he wrote, but I found it anyway, and he made a lot of good quotes, or took a lot of good quotes from the discussion, so I'll be able to look at that and review since it's been a while for me. I also want to discuss this Office Massacre game, which I don't know if it's really been in a lot of the news lately, but it's been in a bit of it, and I'm a little upset at the reaction that apparently people have had, because I don't think it's a big deal, and so in general, we're going to talk about social responsibility of gaming, and if it's really there, like, you know, people claim we have to have this social responsibility, and we have to not give the politicians reason to hate the video game industry and whatnot, and I think a lot of people need to loosen up. And of course, in the same field as Office Massacre is, I guess, the recently made available game, the Columbine game, and unfortunately, I have not had a chance to play this RPG. I guess it's a recreation. I'm hoping some of our listeners have played it and are going to want to call in and tell me a little bit about it, because I haven't had the chance to play it. But it works very well with the discussion we're going to have about Office Massacre. I don't even know where you can get Office Massacre. You know what? You can't. It's a mobile game, and it was going to be released, and then somebody made a big stink about it, and now it's not coming out. So that's why you can't get it. And that's one of the things, well, that is the thing that bothers me. Because certainly, if you want to make a crappy game, go for it, release it, people won't buy it, and I'm all for that. Now, in this case, I don't even know if it's a crappy game. Some people are opposed to the content, but I certainly don't think that the company, I think Alton 8 is the name of the company that was going to publish it, I don't think they should have taken it off their list, especially after all the free advertising they got from the publicity of the violent game. So I think they should put it back for release. But anyway, it looks like they're not going to. Now, of course, love him or hate him, we've got Nathan Smart tonight. He's going to give us a report as well. He's going to cover a little bit of news about the revolution, do a little man on the street bit. So we'll have him towards the end of the show as we like to have him. So we've got a little bit of time before we go to break, and then I get to go into the hardcore discussions. But for now, I'm going to start off the show with what I've been playing lately. Now, recently, Beatmania came out for the PS2. I think last... Well, this week. It's like on Thursday? I don't know. It's hard for me to keep track of the days, especially when they do a shipping one day and release the next day, and you can't tell when was it really released and available. But anyway, I got it, I believe, on Thursday night. I have a little bit of story, a little story for this one, too. Like, I had become sure that the game was going to be very hard to get, because in the past, any game that comes with a controller, like this first issue of Beatmania did, they're always very, very hard to get your hands on. Guitar Hero, when it first came out, was difficult to find. Of course, now it's popular, so I could walk into Fry's Electronics down here in Phoenix and pick up any one of, like, 50 copies they have laying there. But normally these companies don't take big risks on gaming hardware and games that come with the hardware, which is a bummer for me, because I'm especially fond of games that come with new controllers and stuff. So anyway, Beatmania comes out about 7 years after it came out in Japan, and I decide I'm going to get it, so I pre-order it. I'm really opposed to the concept of pre-ordering. I don't like them getting their money, my money, before they actually give me a game, but I knew I was going to have to, so I bit the bullet on this one, paid for it up front, and then, you know, I got the phone call. I guess GameStop does automated phone calls now. Your game is available. Please come in tomorrow to get your game. So I did that. Well, before going in, I called. And they said, yeah, it'll be in tomorrow. Don't worry about it. Cool. So I called the next day. Hey, is it there? No, I don't know what game you're talking about, they said. No idea. So they said, call back, you know, in 20 minutes, whatever. So I called back. And in the meantime, I had actually stopped off at that Fry's Electronics, realizing, well, they like music games. They've got a ton of Guitar Hero. Maybe they have Beatmania as well, without having to pre-order it or anything, since they don't do that at Fry's. I walked in, they had 20 copies of it. So I call up GameStop. I'm like, so did you find my game? Yeah, sorry. Didn't even notice it was there. Now, what I noticed while I was at Fry's was that it was cheaper. So while on the phone with the guy from GameStop, and remember, I used to manage a GameStop, so like I know how they work. They've got price matching. They'll give me the $5 off. Sure, no problem, because they want the business, and that makes sense. So I'm like, so it's a little bit cheaper over here at Fry's. Can I, like, take a picture with my cell phone or the price tag, something like that, you know, and then get the discount when I go back to the store and actually get the game? No, we don't do that anymore. Now, you've got to have the actual ad on paper, but we're not going to call them, or you got to have the ad. That's strange, because nobody's going to put Beatmania in an ad. It's like he didn't used to do that. He used to just be like, all right. So anyway, I'm a little bit bummed, especially considering I like GameStop. And so I told him, I said, I'm going to have to buy it. I'm going to have to buy it at Fry's and then get my money back. He said, no problem. So I picked it up while I was there at Fry's, and I went back. I got my money at GameStop. I'm a little bit upset about that. I don't think it's a company policy, though. I talked to a friend of mine who still works there, and she explained that price matching is really up to the boss, the manager, whatever he wants to do. But whatever, they lost out on my money. Kind of a bummer. But the good point is, for all of you, if you're interested in Beatmania, it's only $60. At least at Fry's it was. GameStop had it for $65. That comes with a controller. Usually stuff that comes with controllers, especially a controller this big and complicated, is more expensive. Guitar Hero is $70, and that, I think, was a very reasonable price. And anyway, I got Beatmania even cheaper. So a little bummed that it took 7 years to come out in the U.S., but it is great. And for those who know anything about the game, it's actually Beatmania and Beatmania 2 DX in one game. I never got a chance to really play the 2 DX, the Japanese ones, but I have a bunch of the original Beatmanias for Japanese PlayStation 1. And it's just cool that they put them on one disc and give me a giant controller to play as well. So anyway, I definitely recommend going out and getting it if you're a music fan. Guitar Hero as well, of course. Been playing that this week after GDC when I went out and played so much Guitar Hero there because it was the hot thing. I had to go home and play some more. And I'm still doing better and better all the time. Can't beat the last two damn songs, but I'm doing well. Anyway, so that's what I've been playing lately. Beatmania, Guitar Hero. I am very happy that I was able to finally get that game in the U.S. without having to play on a modded PS2 or anything. And now I'm ready to actually talk about real stuff for the show. So again, if anybody wants to call in and talk about, well, if you've played, what did I say, the Columbine game? Is that the official name of it? The Columbine game. If you've played that, give me a call, 866-536-1100. Do I have time to go into this, Andrew? How much time do I have left? 2 minutes? 3 minutes? All right. So I'm going to start talking about this. Social responsibility. There's a lot of things that happened this week that make me want to cover this topic. There was, well, one little lighter topic. We had some girls in Ohio for April Fool's Day. They found a site on the internet that says, hey, you should make Super Mario blocks. You know those question blocks? Make them like a foot wide or something. Make an actual question block and throw them around town because it's fun. There's actually a site, I think it was quants.com, Q-W-A-N-T-Z. Anyway, one of the friends of this website publisher, I can't even remember the guy's name, but he's an artist, and he has this big argument that cities are getting really bland and full of advertising, and there's not a lot of character anymore in a lot of suburbia, a lot of the towns that you walk around, even places like New York. Remember the big thing over the PSP advertising recently? Anyway, so these girls, they put 17 question mark blocks of Super Mario blocks, which look really cool, all over their town, this little town of like 12,000 people in Ohio. And unfortunately, some people who are really uptight, and I can understand being uptight about this, especially these days, but they called the bomb squad. Well, they called the police, who then called the bomb squad because there were these mysterious boxes. And I guess they're extra mysterious because they had question marks on them, but So they called out the police, and they had to get the bomb squad, and there's pictures on the web about with this guy, you know, in a giant flak suit thing, going after the block. And I'm thinking to myself, it's a Mario block. If you look inside, you might find a power-up mushroom, but that's going to be it. That's all you can find. And the reason this relates to social responsibility is that we have, I don't know if it's the sheriff or the chief of police or whatever, doing an interview with the newspaper, who then, you know, you can read about the article or read the article online, talking about how these girls, you know, came in and admitted that it's us. You know, there was all this buzz about the town. What are these boxers doing? Where's the bomb squads? Why are they here? And she says, hey, listen, it was me. It was just a joke. Don't worry about it. Me and some friends, we made some blocks. It's arts and crafts, really. And the bottom line is, I spent a lot of money, a lot of people's time coming out searching for bombs. And then the chief of police says that it was done, or whoever it was, says it was done just to see what sort of reaction it would get, implying that it was done as a prank to be, you know, pissing people off. See what would happen. Oh, if I give you some white powder in the envelope, you're going to think it's anthrax. And so they put these blocks around, and I'm sure they did it just for fun to pretty it up and give people who know what Mario Brothers is a smile on their face. And now there's claims that we need to be more socially responsible and not do things like that, which could set sensitive people off. And I think it's BS. So I'm going to talk a lot more about some more serious topics, like Office Massacre, as soon as we get back. Thanks for listening, everybody. Call us at 866-536-1100. Welcome back, everybody, to the second segment tonight of Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Alon. I am the host and producer, I might point out. Nathan Vig not with us this week. Third time in a row he's not with us. Unfortunately, he came into the studio, and then he had to leave the studio. Had stuff to do tonight, so he couldn't stick around for the new later time slot. So he'll be back next week, without a doubt, and he actually wants to talk about a lot of stuff. He did a lot of research on the recent Senate hearings, the video game Senate hearings that happened up on Capitol Hill. So I'm going to not talk about that this week. I know it's on people's minds a lot lately, so we're going to avoid that topic because I want Nate to be able to cover it as thoroughly as he deserves to do. So when he's back next week, that'll be a topic on hand for us. Now, I want to remind everybody before I go back into my topics that UAT.edu, the University of Advancing Technology, is where you can go to learn about the video game industry and getting into it. I did it, and Nate does it, and so do a lot of other people here in the Phoenix area. So come on down, at least go to uat.edu and check it out, if you're interested anyway. Now, I'm going to get back on my discussion about the Ohio Super Mario block debacle. And we actually have Daniel from Florida on the line, so I'm going to bring him on, and he has something to say about it. Daniel, you're on the air.
Hi, Alan.
Hey there.
Hey, you hear me?
I can.
Okay, I saw that news article like a couple of days. I think it was like, you know, it was just the other day about it. And
had to be yesterday, of course, because that was April 1st.
Yeah, I've been working like nonstop, so.
No problem.
I read stuff and get busy with work again. Don't even think about it. It's not something I'm supposed to do at work, but.
So, what are your thoughts?
It seems like, you know, they were just supposed to be neat little decorations. The fact that they're saying that they're doing it because people are oversensitive, it seems like censorship to me.
You know, I can see what you're saying, but because, at the same time, I can also see the side of the state. And
well,
so,
if they're just made out of cardboard, I mean, it should be pretty obvious.
Well, now.
I can't imagine that they're really that strong unless they, like, reinforce them or anything.
Let me tell you, I have watched enough Hollywood productions to know that you can make a bomb and put it in a cardboard box. So I can understand people's curiosities. And, of course, when you're in an airport, they always say anything you see laying around, that's going to be, you should definitely tell the cops about it. If it's not your bag and you're standing next to it, tell somebody. Right. And so, like, I get it, but I would have thought that the question mark block was, like, ubiquitous enough that people understand it's a Super Mario thing. Probably not a bomb. Now, still, there's paranoid folks. Maybe it's because they left it on the doorstep of a church. Maybe that's what did it.
Well, I thought most of them were left up, like, on, like, trees and stuff.
Well, it depends, because there's, like, the guy who started this, that a lot of people then copied, he would hang them up in trees or off, you know, lampposts or something and hang them. But then these girls, they put them all over the place. There were some hanging and some not, and there was one left on the doorstep of a church. And I think that may have been the one that started it all. And then other people found them around town, and they started calling about it. So, like, I don't know if it was mania triggering mania, or if it was, like, all these independent incidents that everyone decided to call the cops on it. But you could figure after the first one, like, if I were the bomb guy, I'd be like, all right, just open the box. Let's see. Maybe there's a power-up. It's just, I looked at it and I felt, you know what, I understood what it was as soon as I saw it, and I think it's cool. And,
well, you know, you think about from Mario's perspective, it could be a bomb for all you know.
Yeah, it's a good point. Could be a bomb. I certainly wouldn't see it as censorship, because it was put out in the public. I guess the point is that now we have to restrict these to our lawns and stuff.
Well, which the reason why I thought it was censorship is because I don't know who said it specifically, but I guess some people that criticized it were saying that people are needing to be more socially responsible because of other people that are overly sensitive about it. That's what I was talking about. Not that, you know, they shouldn't still investigate and check it, but, you know, some people just need to get over themselves.
Yes.
So to speak.
I agree with you. It's a little bit silly. And like I said, I can understand the city or the state's point of view, but at the same time, it's like, what my problem was, and it's not the problem that they brought out the bomb squad or that people were nervous about it, because that's legitimate. People are nervous, especially today, but all sorts of things. My issue was that they said the girls are going to be charged for it, and we don't know if they're really going to be charged. I certainly hope they won't be.
That does seem like a little overkill.
Yeah, but, I mean, if you read the articles, they make a point of saying that the girls may be charged for doing this. And can I tell you, by the way, if I meet a girl who I find out put Super Mario blocks around town, I will be on my knees proposing that instant. I don't know how many girls you know that like video games and have that sort of, I don't know if I want to call it creativity since they copied somebody else, but that sort of chutzpah.
Unfortunately, that's rare in my area.
I would be buying a ring, and you all know how cheap I am. So anyway, thanks for your thoughts, Daniel. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you.
All right. So Daniel thinks it's a little bit of censorship. I have mixed feelings. I just don't think the girls should be charged. Now, I'm sure that they're not going to, and they just wanted to put the message out in the media saying, oh, you know, don't worry, We're taking care of it, and these girls might go to jail or, you know, get a slap on the wrist or something, instead of just saying, oh, it's okay, we don't mind. But it would be taken way too far if they actually, like, got in serious trouble over it. I think the embarrassment enough of pulling out the bomb squad is really all they need to do. Anyway, I want to talk about Office Massacre, like I said, and I guess you could talk about Columbine game in the same way, but what's great about this game, Office Massacre, which is supposed to be a mobile game produced by Altenate, is that recently Christopher Weaver, he is the founder of Bethesda, Softworks, the creator of Elder Scrolls and, you know, the new Oblivion game and a lot of other stuff. I guess they made the original John Madden football as well. He got all up in people's face. He wrote this article on Next Gen Biz, and it's the Next Generation website, just talking about how bad this game is and how it's horrible. And I wanted to take one part of it and mention it, because it's especially, like, blockheaded, I think. Blocks. Wow, that's relevant. Anyway, especially silly for him to say this, considering the context of the article. So he's talking about how Office Massacre, anyone who wants to, you know, sit around and blow away friends in an office or coworkers in an office environment needs to get their head checked. And, you know, it's got the graphical qualities of that Jack Thompson game. You know, it's this little cartoony game, and I doubt there's going to be a whole lot of blood in it, but kudos for them if they could fit it in there. He goes off on it and complains that it's a horrible thing, and this is the sort of social irresponsibility that is making the gaming community look bad. And then he writes this. He's talking about, at one point, Bethesda was called out for making Daggerfall, which was named in Lieberman's top 10 worst games for kids, or just worst games in general. And after Lieberman several years ago made this declaration that Daggerfall and Mortal Kombat were 10 of the worst games, Christopher Weaver found out that he was given that list by the National Institute of Media and the Family. And he got upset, and he sued Lieberman, or sued the government or whatever, and he also sued NIMF. And anyway, this is the line from his recent article that I think was just a little bit silly. I'm trying to find this. Let me give me one second here. Here it is. As anyone who knows both the RPG genre and especially the Elder Scrolls series can tell you, the series stresses the importance of relationships and enforces many social rules. to put it in the same category as Mortal Kombat simply meant that someone or some group with an agenda had provided Lieberman his worst games list. This is before, of course, he found out where it came from. And anyway, here's my issue. That he says Elder Scrolls is all about relationships, and it's about, basically saying it's about story. There's more to it. Like, we can show graphical killing, but as long as it's in context, it's okay. And I don't know if you guys recall Mortal Kombat, but it was so popular and so full of storyline that a movie was made, and actually one of the better video game-based movies. And the truth is, Mortal Kombat is all about saving the world and ridding it of evil, and all of the violence in it is made in the context that it's good for the world. And Chris goes off and says that his games are okay, but Mortal Kombat's bad. Anyway, I want to talk a little bit more about that, and then about Leland G as soon as we come back. Stay tuned, everyone. We will be back after these messages. Back again, everybody. Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Alon, and I am ready to talk a little bit more about Leland and about Office Massacre. Anyway, let's get into it. Office Massacre, I was saying, it's a little bit silly. It's crazy that Christopher Weaver is up in mad arms about this game, saying that we need to not make stuff like this, and it's horrible, and then what's worse is this company who had this potentially interesting mobile game where I get to go, you know, pretend to shoot my coworkers. They're not going to put it out anymore. And let me tell you, like, the reason this would be good, I mean, we all know the term going postal, right? We laugh, we make jokes about the postal workers and shooting everybody in our office, right? And you know why? Because it's funny. I know that if you get killed, or if your brother or mother or somebody gets killed, you know, it probably loses its humor, at least a little bit, when compared to, you know, if that didn't happen to you. But the truth is, stuff like that's just funny. Some guy going crazy. I mean, I just saw today on VH1, there was some little German kid got pissed off at his computer and started slamming it all over, you know, the place. The keyboard was broken in 58 little pieces by the time he was done with it. And, you know, the reason that was on TV is because it was funny. And if you lose sense of that, if you think that you're, you know, gonna go to hell because you play this little mobile game where you have a tiny four-button controller and start shooting some people in your office, oh, the end of the world, you are the one who needs to check your head, because if you're getting affected by this stuff, then the truth is you were already affected. And we all know that, yet we still get people, even in the video game industry, complaining that it's a horrible, horrible thing. Now, I wouldn't say market it to little kids. I wouldn't say put it out there on Saturday morning cartoons as a good game to play, but certainly I don't think we have to start discussing social responsibility because of some mobile game where you get to shoot up your office. I think it's a great idea. I also think the Columbine game is a great idea, even though I haven't played it. Hopefully I'm going to play it before the end of next week. Putting this stuff, you know, out in the back of our psyche and forgetting about it is not a good thing. And the fact that people apparently made this Columbine game, you can go to columbinegame.com, is very interesting to me. I don't even know if the point is to change the course of history or to just destroy people. It's probably just to, you know, do as big as a school massacre as you can. I think it's great. Again, don't market to little kiddos, but it's going to be interesting content. And I even want to say it's funny, but Columbine, people are a little more sensitive about Columbine than the postal workers, so I won't say it's funny. But I think how the game was made as a someone who knows about the game industry and game mechanics and stuff, I certainly would think it's funny watching it, and how, you know, some people, I don't think they're kids, but some people decided to put this game together and actually put a successful game called the Columbine game together. It does make me chuckle a little bit. And again, you need to get off of your social responsibility high horse and accept the fact that, one, it's a game and can have a lot of, side effects isn't the right word, but it can have positive characteristics, even if the content of the game is horrible. I don't think that people should not make those games in the concentration camps where your point is to kill all the Jews. Like, that can even have some educational side to it. For the third, fourth time, don't market it to little kiddos. But you know, there are Nazi games out there and stuff that are pretty despicable. Certainly, let the people make their game. Let them market it to whoever they want to market it to. Kind of sucks that it exists, something that's really full of hate. But when something's just recreating something in the past, God, I don't care. Like, we can create a situation that's totally false. We can create a bank robbery. We can create a situation where I go in and I'm the bad guy and I just kill tons of people, and that's okay. But if I base it on something historical, then it's suddenly not okay? Right. I'm not going to play the game where I play the people killing all the Jews in the concentration camps, but I certainly respect the right of people to make it. And whatever. Just don't put it in schools, that's all. Anyway, I want to move on. I want to talk about Leland G a bit, because I already put it back 1 week. I was supposed to talk about it last week. So I'm going to go over and review the topic over at joystick.com. That's joystick.com. I guess Vladimir Kohl wrote up a good summary of what actually happened there. He was a little bit upset. He thought that the time was misused. I don't care. Some of the best part of his article here is when he takes quotes from the highlight quotes of the actual discussion and puts it out there, because that way I can review them for all of you guys. One important one from, I guess I'll just read all the ones from Leland G. He says that he was talking about the bill banning the sale, and he says, the bill's currently being contested in California courts. It's a very narrow. He said, I'm sorry, that it's a very narrowly tailored bill, and we believe it will sustain the test of court. And I was saying that the bill is being contested in California courts. So he says it'll survive. And you know what? It's kind of scary. Like, maybe it will. I've said this over and over, that I still don't know the details of this bill. I don't even know where to find this information. I guess if I went to gamepolitics.com, I could find it. But, you know, his point at the discussion, Leland was saying the point is ultra-violent games. He wasn't trying to get everything off the shelves, and he wasn't trying to stop, you know, everybody from being able to play these. I believe he just wants to get them out of the hands of kids. But the thing is, when he talks about ultra-violent, a lot of what he was talking about sounded like he wanted them not to exist at all. And so I'm not really sure where he stands on that. I think he wants to get ultra-violent games banned completely. But I'm a little ashamed by the fact that I don't even know. One of the more interesting things that Leland was asked was actually what he thought, like, well, he said, he wasn't asked this, he said that the reason the ESRB is broken is that hot coffee was able to happen. We all know about Grand Theft Auto and the hot coffee fiasco, how there was this sexual material in the game, which I still claim doesn't matter because it wasn't accessible without extreme hacks where you knew what you were doing. But he said the reason the ESRB is broken, it isn't sufficient, is because GTA was rated as an M-rated game, and then a parent was able to go buy this game, and suddenly this AO-style material was available in the game. And AO is adults only, by the way. So that was his problem. But then what was great is an audience member went up to the microphone and asked him, what organization on earth could have stopped hot coffee from happening? And his response, although this isn't mentioned in the joystick article, his response was literally, I don't know, but the ESRB is broken. And he's fighting, you know, for all these other types of, not restrictions, but he's fighting for all these other ratings to be on games and stuff. And ESRB, they couldn't do it, and nobody could do it. The bottom line is, it would take people, they would have to be doing jobs that's not, you know, what the ratings board does. You don't sift through code. You don't look at what it does. You don't analyze what it does. You need very highly trained people searching for, you know, hours and hours and hours or months trying to determine what the code of a game is. And if you do that for every game, since they get multiple in every day to look at, what's the point? It'll never happen. A government group, any other group, could not have done it, which is why months ago you heard me claim I wish that there was a government ratings board, because they would have screwed up just as badly. Well, I really don't think ESRB screwed up, but you know what I'm saying. In the eyes of Leland, they would have screwed up just as badly and let that code through, because there's no other way to do it. And so when he admits there's nothing you can do, I guess that's why he wants to limit these games. But the point is, I could take a game, like I've said before, I said in the Jack Thompson interview, we could take Math Blasters and put sexually explicit material in there, you know? I could put all sorts of stuff that I don't even know if I'm allowed to say it on the air here, and just perking up. Put all sorts of stuff in Math Blasters, some educational kiddie game, and make it suddenly horrible. And not only that, any game that didn't have this material in it, I could take a hack, just like the guys did for Grand Theft Auto, and download the hack and inject all that stuff in. One click of a button, just like the Grand Theft Auto hack. Even if it wasn't built into the game, you'd have the same results. And that's why this argument that Leland G is making is so dumbfounded. That it's just, it doesn't make sense to me, because the games are still going to exist and you can always hack a game. It's the nature of the material. And one thing, I mean, people were very excited that Leland was willing to even go to this talk. Apparently, all sorts of people were invited, from Arnold Schwarzenegger to Lieberman and Hillary Clinton, all sorts of folks who are, you know, having this video game politics debate out there were invited, and Leland's the only one who showed up. And I certainly do appreciate that. It was great, although I think people were kissing his ass a little bit too much, saying, oh, we're so glad you came. And I'm like, what we should be doing is pouncing on the other people who wouldn't show up. But whatever, it was cool that at least he showed up and he did his thing. And he didn't feel terribly threatened by the people in the audience. And I appreciate that, because nobody was... There was some heated discussion and some, you know, people were complaining about him a little bit. But for the most part, he went and did what he was supposed to do, tell us what he thought. And I do believe that the guy is doing what he thinks is right. It's just, I think we all need to be in agreement that what he thinks is right isn't necessarily what is right. Because there's no reason to stop games like Office Massacre or GTA or anything from being available. Like I've said before, if a bad game comes out, a game that people don't want exists, it won't sell, and it will therefore not be made again by anybody else. And so, you know, this is why I said weeks ago that I wanted to stop about talking about game politics, because you end up running in circles and saying the same things over and over. But it's true. Thanks, Leland, for going there. But some of the things he had to say were a little bit weird. He said something about smoking. He said that the only data we have that says smoking is cancerous is correlational. It's not cause and effect. And people got all upset about that. It was funny, but he's right. It's true. There's no direct proof. But anyway, you should go look at the Joystick article. It'll do a lot more justice than I was able to do in the short 3 minutes I talked about it. Anyway, I'm going to be back right after this break. We're going to have Nathan Smart in for another Smart Attack, and then I'm going to cover a little bit of news. And yeah, stay tuned. We'll be right back. Back again for the final segment of Chatterbox Video Game Radio. We're going to bring on Nathan Smart in a minute, but before I do, I want to bring up a point from the Leland G discussion at GDC that I forgot to mention. Someone on IRC wrote something about Harvest Moon on there, and this is a great thing that was discussed. One of the panel members, one of the video game industry panel members, said that you know, if there was this causation behind video games and violence, then, you know, he's seen lots and lots of kids love the game Harvest Moon. And, you know, if there was really causation behind video games, why aren't there, you know, fields of corn out in everybody's yard? He's like, his exact quote was something along the lines of, I haven't seen any kids planting any corn lately. So I thought that was really funny. But the truth is that Leland was actually saying that it's correlational data. And what I was saying about smoking was that it's true. There's only correlational data between smoking and cancer. And he's claiming we have plenty of correlational data between video games and violence. So I guess a case can certainly be made there, although I don't think there's as solid evidence. That's, of course, what Hillary Clinton's fighting for, that we do a CDC, the Center for Disease Control, a CDC study on the effects of video games and violence, so that they can prove, or at least come close to proving it, so that in the future these lawsuits will have more footing. Anyway, like I said, we're going to have Nathan Smart for another Smart Attack. So without further ado, everybody, here is Nathan Smart. No? I'm going to play Nathan Smart, Andrew.
Thanks, Alon. The streets are buzzing with the news that the revolution will have USB ports, and Iwata-san's words are echoing through the streets with a resonance I've never heard before. Let's get some opinions from some of the people who are talking. Ma'am, what do you think of the news?
What news?
Well, the news that everyone's talking about the revolution having USB ports.
What's the revolution?
The Nintendo Revolution, Nintendo's new video game system.
Is that the PS3 that my son's been talking about?
No, that's the PS3. Okay. Well, let's get some other opinions. Sir, what do you think of the news that the Revolution is going to have USB ports for extra storage?
How many USB ports are you talking about?
It hasn't been confirmed yet.
Who makes that? Dell Computers?
No, Young man, what's your take on the Revolution news?
Nintendo sucks, man. Weirdo Japanese people. Mario can bite my...
Ma'am, any opinion on the story?
You mean about the Revolution?
Yes, finally.
Well, I think Microsoft is doing a good job with it.
What do you mean?
Microsoft, the company that makes the Revolution.
It's Nintendo, you idiot! Oh my gosh!
Calm down, you nerd!
Doesn't anyone have an opinion on the Nintendo Revolution? Anyone?
Are you talking about the Revolution?
Yeah. Why? You hate it, don't you?
Oh, no, no. I think it's great. Nintendo's brilliant. What's the news?
Oh. Okay. The news. Oh, yeah. It's going to have USB ports so that you can have extra storage.
Really? You mean it's not going to have a hard drive built in?
Yeah, you can get your own hard drive however you want to.
Oh, that's bloody stupid. The other systems have it. Nintendo, you blokes have gone down a notch, I say.
As I settle on, the streets are buzzing with... Oh, f*** it.
And there you have it, everybody. We try to play it off like that was live. I wanted to do it. And then Andrew goes and he just messes it up. He starts distracting me. No, no, no. Somebody else is on the phone. It's not Nathan. I knew it wasn't Nathan. Thank you very much, Andrew. All right, well, that was our bit, care of Nathan Smart. Truth is, the Nintendo Revolution is going to have USB ports, apparently, so you can pop on a hard drive, a flash drive, whatever you want, in case the 512 memory that's in the system doesn't do it for you, in case you need to have the entire library of every Nintendo game ever, at least the ones they make available, go for it. I guess the Genesis games, and actually, some of the TurboGrafx CD games will take up a lot of space, so that's legit. Maybe you should have a hard drive. Anyway, we do have Adam on the phone. So let's take an actual caller. Adam, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hey there.
My question is, when do you think they will finally get rid of the tiny hand and the tiny foot out of video games?
You're going to have to explain yourself a little more. I'm not sure what you mean by tiny hand and tiny foot games.
Okay, when you shoot a wall in a first-person shooter, and then you walk up to it and you punch the hole is about the size of your fist, or bigger.
Uh-huh. Is that a bad thing?
Well, a bullet's like, I don't know, like maybe one inch in width. So when you walk up to the wall, your fist can go into the hole. It should really just be like your pinky finger.
Oh, I understand. Giant bullet holes.
Yes, and they're still doing it on the Xbox 360 games.
So it's the giant bullet holes, not the tiny hands.
Well, either way.
I understand what you're saying.
Like in Wolfenstein, when you kick the door open, you get the tiny foot pop-up.
You know, I need to see the bullet holes in my game. Otherwise, it's not as intense. If I was playing Black, which we've talked about before, I don't really play much, and I just saw tiny little white pixels or something defining a bullet hole, I'd be upset. So I can understand. Although, that game I brought up because the bullet holes are these graphics that suspend in midair if you hit an object that's smaller than the bullet hole. So I could sort of see your point. Of course, the question being a little bit silly, I'm not going to pay too much attention to it. I really don't care about the size of bullet holes.
Aw.
I really don't care at all. What would be interesting, though, is if they could make it an actual hole and you could see through.
Yeah.
So you could see what's going on behind. One of these days, they'll do that. Anyway, thanks so much for calling up,
no
Adam.
No problem.
Appreciate it. I'm going to get back to the show. And actually, I should have mentioned again that uat.edu is where you should go to get info on getting into the game industry. It totally slipped my mind. Nobody's here to remind me because Nathan's not here today. Nate, I mean. All right, so I was talking about Leland, talked about social responsibility today. Wish I had a few more callers to talk about that. But given the time change, I don't know how many people are actually listening live. Maybe next week we'll have some more folks. Cover a little bit of news, too. What's been happening? What's been going on these days? Really, I think what actually be better to talk about is some of the stuff I saw at Game Developers Conference. They had a couple new controllers. One of them actually less a controller and more of just a research and development product. There was this thing, I don't think it has a name yet, or if there is a name, it's certainly not a solid name, put together by Mitsubishi. And it was a table you sit at. And basically imagine a large table or a really large touch screen plasma TV, right? laid down on a table. So that's not what this was, but imagine that where you have a video screen on the table. In this case, it was a projector. But then four people can actually be doing the touching. The example was four people. They said it could be more than four. They built a system where it can recognize more than one person based on, I'm not sure what it's based on, but anyway, I guess your body becomes the circuit on this table or something. And so people were playing these games where you actually touch the table. And anyway, I thought it was interesting. I wish there was, I know I've seen it on one of the blog sites, probably Joystick, had some pictures of it. It was really neat, though. They had these games where, like, you press it on the table and you're popping bubbles, and it was all just concept stuff. But they had multiple people sitting around all playing this game, kind of like, you know, if you laid a board game out, but of course it's interactive and on a large scale, not just a tiny little TV or something. So I thought that was really neat. And I wish I had a more official name or a release date or something, but it was fake. Rather, it wasn't production model is what I should say. It wasn't fake at all. It was really cool stuff. One thing that is supposedly going into production is this controller, it's a force feedback mechanism, more like a mouse than a controller, but it had this ball that you would hold on to that was connected to a base unit, and it had like mouse buttons on the ball, and you could move it around in full 3D space, and that's what was cool about it. But it was full 3D space while being fully force feedback. So, like, they put a picture of a ball on the screen, just a 3D sphere, and there was a pointer in the world, and so you would grab the mouse controlled ball thing and move it so that the pointer hit the sphere, and then you couldn't actually move it forward anymore. The force feedback wouldn't let you, but you could roll it around the sphere, and so you had a very tactile feeling that there was an actual sphere in this world, and it was really neat. And then they could make the sphere, instead of being solid, it was like molasses, you know, so you could push through it, but you push through really slowly. And then they had ridges on the outside of the ball, and you could feel the bumps, and it was really cool. I wish I knew the name for this thing, but it was fully force feedback 3D motion, and it was amazing. I mean, they already have mice and stuff you can hold up in the air and just move around, but it's not connected to motors, and you can't feel what's actually going on. And part of what's cool is that it was fully 3D, just like the Revolution controller is going to be, but the coolest part was that you could feel everything going on and interact with the environment tactically, and that was just amazing to me. Supposedly, it's only going to be $100, and who knows if it ever comes out, and I'm sure no software will actually work for it, at least not in the gaming industry, but it's cool to dream. They claim only $100. So we're going to go, everybody. I'll be back next week with Nate Vig in studio. We're going to be here. Of course, it's 10 p.m. now. That's 10 p.m. West Coast and 1 a.m. East Coast. Thank you for joining us this week, and we'll be back next. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.